I was driving back at a slower than average speed. That was probably because a part of me knew I wasn't headed home. After I parked, I must have sat in my car for over 30 minutes deciding whether or not to ring her doorbell. What the fuck are you doing, Rush? Why are you here? My phone chimed. Gia. Is there any reason why you're parked outside of my house? Rush. Stakeout? Gia. Not buying it. Rush. Pizza delivery? Gia. My pizza must be awfully cold then. Rush. I don't know what I'm doing here. Gia. Do you want to come in? Rush. Yes. Gia. But you won't. Rush. I don't think I should. Gia. Okay. Despite my words, a few moments later, I was at the door knocking. Gia opened, wearing a thin white nightgown that showed off her enormous nipples. I had to pry my eyes upward because all I wanted to do was lift the material up and suck on them so badly. It was quiet in the house as I looked around. Where are your roommates? Every one of them either is out or working. That rarely happens. I'm enjoying the peace and quiet. This wasn't good. I really needed to leave. She surprised me when she said, "Will you have some ice cream with me?" "Ice cream?" "Yeah," she smiled, and I just melted at the sight of it. Seemed innocent enough. "Depends on the flavor," I teased. "Chunky monkey, kind of like I'm going to look in a few months." That thought should have turned me off, maybe, but it had the opposite effect. I loved her new curves and the idea of more. My affinity for her body only made my situation all that much harder. "That's my favorite flavor," I said. We sat in the living room, quietly eating out of the same container of Ben and Jerry's. She finally said, "Everyone was talking about your outburst earlier, how you threw those two guys out and then you just left the Heights without saying anything to anyone." My mouth was full of ice cream. "Well, let them talk. I don't care. I still stand by what I did. Those pricks had no place hovering around you like that." "Where did you go when you left?" When I stopped eating and didn't say anything, she drew her own conclusion. Maybe my guilt was obvious. A look of worry flashed across her face. "You went to see a woman?" When I didn't answer, she became more insistent. "Answer me." I still didn't want to admit my stupidity tonight. She continued to push. "You had sex with someone tonight?" "No." It came out louder than I'd intended. "Then where were you?" I didn't want to lie to her. "I tried to hook up with someone. I wanted to forget. Forget about what happened at the Heights, forget about you." I hadn't meant to be so blunt, but she wanted the truth. That was it. Tears started to fall from her eyes. It fucking killed me that I was upsetting her. Why did I tell her the truth? But I couldn't, Gia.
"Why not? You might as well. It's not like you owe me anything. You should be out having a fuck fest right now. You made your decision when it comes to me."
"That's not fair."
"It's the truth."
"Just because I can't be with you doesn't mean I don't want to be with you. And it doesn't mean I'm ready to move on as much as I wish I could. Staying away from you is the hardest fucking thing I've ever had to do." We were both silent for the longest time, just staring intensely into each other's eyes.
"I miss you,"
she whispered. "I miss you too." I couldn't resist bringing her into me. She buried her face in my chest. My heart was beating out of control. It was all too much. The softness of her skin, the recognition of her scent, the need to pick up exactly where we'd left off. My dick hardened. I couldn't get it up for Everly, but put this gorgeous pregnant woman in my arms, and my body was fully awakened. I wished her being pregnant turned me off, but I'd never been more turned on by anything in my life. Coming inside the house was a mistake. I let go of her, placing my spoon on the coffee table and standing up. "I have to go." As I was walking out the door, her voice stopped me.
"I have my first ultrasound tomorrow."
I froze. My heart started to pound faster. Hearing her say that really made it hit home that there was an actual human being inside of her. She continued,
"I'm really scared. Like, what if they find something wrong, or there's no heartbeat, or I freak out when I see it? I know this is going to sound crazy, Rush. Besides Riley, who's out of state this week, you're the best friend I have here. I haven't even mustered the courage to tell my father yet. Anyway, do you think you could come with me?
What? Say something. I don't know, Gia.
Please?
How could I say no? She was scared, and aside from all of the complicated parts to this situation, I cared deeply for this girl. If she needed me to hold her hand, then I needed to suck it up and do it. I let out a long breath and nodded. Okay. Chapter 22.
You're making me even more nervous.
Gia rested her hand on my knee, stopping the incessant bob up and down of my leg. I hadn't even realized I was doing it. Sorry. Sitting side by side in the doctor's office waiting room, I impatiently waited for her name to be called. I'd been a wreck from the time we pulled into the damn parking lot. Some help I was. I'd come because she was nervous, yet here she was having to calm me down. I had no idea why I felt so anxious, but 10 minutes ago, when the receptionist's phone rang, I literally jumped right out of my chair. I'd had to cover by pretending I needed to use the bathroom. What the fuck is wrong with me?
I was thinking about my old job last night, Gia said. All the greeting cards that I wrote the copy for.
Oh, yeah? Bet you didn't get your own bathroom stall at that job. She laughed.
No, I definitely didn't. But I wasn't comparing my old job to working for you. There's no comparison to how much more I enjoy spending time with you at the Heights. I mean, working at the Heights. But I was thinking about the cards I used to write that were meant to congratulate people on their pregnancies. At the time, I thought they were funny. Although right now, as I'm sitting in an actual obstetrician's office, I'm thinking maybe some of them went a little too far, almost to the point of being insensitive without even realizing it.
Like what?
Well, this one in particular I remember writing went something like this. On the outside, it said, "How do you fit a watermelon through a donut hole?" And then on the inside, it said, "You're about to find out."
I chuckled. That's funny.
Says the man who doesn't have to push a watermelon through his donut hole.
The receptionist called Gia's name, and she looked over at me. The fear was suddenly palpable in her eyes. I took her hand and squeezed. It's going to be fine. This baby is going to be healthy and beautiful, just like his mom.
His?
His what?
You said just like his mom. So you think I'm having a boy?
I hadn't noticed I'd given the baby a sex. Come on, stop stalling. I stood and gave her hand a slight tug. And I don't think you're having a boy. I know what you're having. Gia stood.
You do?
I winked. Of course. A giant fucking watermelon. It's a little too early to be able to tell the sex of the baby. But before I start, do you want to know if I'm able to see the gender clearly? The sonogram technician pulled gloves from a box on the counter and snapped them onto her hands. Gia looked at me for an answer.
I don't know. I didn't think you could tell this soon, so I haven't really given it any thought. What do you think, Rush?
I smirked. Up to you. I already know what it is. The sonogram technician obviously didn't know that I meant she was pregnant with a watermelon. She flicked off the lights in the room and pulled up a stool next to Gia.
So Dad already thinks he knows what it is, huh? I'm guessing that means he thinks it's a boy. Most dads do.
Gia got flustered.
He's not... He thinks it's a...
I attempted to help her. I'm not the... I don't think... The technician must have been used to two tongue-tied people in this room.
I'll tell you what. I won't tell you what you're having if I can see, but I'll note it in your chart so that you can call the office at any time if you decide to find out.
Gia let out a loud rush of air.
Okay, yeah, that's great.
I'm going to just untie your gown and pull it up to access your belly, and we might need to roll down your pants a little bit.
Okay.
Gia squeezed my hand as the technician got her ready. I might be a sick fuck, but my cock twitched at the sight of the smooth skin on her stomach. It was apparently oblivious we were at a medical appointment and not a peep show. The technician rolled down Gia's leggings to just above her pubic bone, and my eyes stayed glued to her tan skin. Fuck, I want to defile a mother.
The technician held up a tube of something. This might be a little cold. She then proceeded to squirt some gel shit all over Gia's belly.
Here, let me take care of that for you. My lube will be nice and warm.
I shook my head to rid the thought. It didn't help one fucking bit. The tech pulled a monitor on wheels next to the examination table and positioned it so that the three of us could see. I stayed on the opposite side next to Gia's head so we had the same view. The minute she touched the wand to Gia's belly, a loud sound came out of the machine. The technician looked at the screen and adjusted a knob.
Your baby has a nice strong heartbeat.
Gia and I stared at the screen. I'll give you a quick tour of the baby's anatomy so that you can enjoy it while I take measurements and the pictures I need. The technician pointed to what looked like a string of pearls. This is your baby's spine. She tilted the wand a little to the left with one hand and pointed to the screen with the other. The image was grainy and black and white, but I could make out what she showed next before she even said it. Head? She outlined what was clearly a skull, then traced down the baby's profile. Nose, lips, holy crap. I could actually see an outline of a baby's face, although it looked more like an alien swimming than a baby from where I stood. But there it was, a person, inside of Gia, one with its own heartbeat and profile already. The technician smiled and moved the wand around a lot while looking at the screen.
You have an active one. It's turning around a lot.
Just as she said that, something very clear came into view.
Is that a hand? Gia said.
Sure is.
Wow.
If you opt to have a 3D sonogram later in your pregnancy, the pictures are really clear. But you're actually getting a pretty nice show today, considering you're only 14 weeks. Mesmerized by the screen, I'd completely forgotten about Gia's stomach, and it hit me that I was actually excited about the pregnancy for the first time. I couldn't wait to meet the little guy. Okay, so maybe I did think he was a boy. I continued to stare in awe. I saw fingers move, toes, lips, a long neck, and was that? My excitement must have gotten the best of me. I pointed to what I thought was a penis. Is that his? The technician laughed. No, that's actually a whole foot. Gia had turned her head and was watching me instead of the screen. Her face glowed and she looked so beautiful. Without giving it any thought, I leaned down and kissed her forehead. Okay, so maybe I do sort of think it's a boy. The technician finished scanning Gia's belly and then printed off a few pictures. First refrigerator pictures, Mom, she said, handing them to Gia. I'm not supposed to give any results or anything, but everything looks great. Why don't you get dressed and I'll have the group PA pop in to answer any questions you might have today, since you're not due to see the doctor at this visit. She handed a bunch of paper towels to Gia. To clean up the gel.
Okay, thank you.
The technician left us alone in the room, and Gia wiped a few tears, then began to wipe off her belly. I took the paper towels from her hand and cleaned up the mess. It had seemed perfectly natural to do, but after I'd done it, I noticed Gia was looking at me funny.
I could have done that.
I tossed the paper towels in the garbage, and when I turned back around, Gia sat up on the exam table. Her gown that had been untied and pushed up fell open. She had on a black lacy bra, and her tits were practically spilling out of the cups. Gia traced what my eyes were glued to and looked down. I've gained 6 pounds so far, and it all seems to have went to my boobs. I swallowed. Pregnancy definitely agrees with you. She put her hand on her belly. I'm not looking forward to getting fat. Apparently, her swollen breasts made me delirious, because the thought of a curvy Gia with a big, round, full belly and a little sag to her perky tits actually had me getting hard in the doctor's office. You're going to be fucking sexy pregnant. She thought I was trying to make her feel better. Standing from the exam table, she pointed to the chair behind me.
You'll have to keep lying to me as I start to waddle. Can you hand me my shirt?
Even though her gown had just been wide open, Gia turned her back to me to change into her shirt. She wasn't normally modest about her body, so it made me think she really did think she wasn't attractive pregnant. A knock at the door came before I could set her straight. The PA entered and extended her hand to both of us.
I'm Jessica Abbott. I'll be seeing you from time to time over the course of your pregnancy.
Usually it's after a sonogram or calling you with lab results. I just took a quick look at your sonogram and everything is measuring to the due date we originally anticipated. Your baby looks happy and healthy. Are there any questions you have for me today about the sonogram or otherwise?
Gia shook her head.
I don't think so, no. Okay. Well, you can keep up with your regular non-pregnancy activities. Work, sleep, sex, all as usual.
Gia glanced at me and then to the PA.
Is it normal for pregnancy to affect your libido?
Yes, very. Many women experience a decrease in their sex drive during their pregnancy. Often it's in the first trimester, and then it comes back with a vengeance toward the end.
Oh.
I looked over at Gia. Her face was turning pink. She was embarrassed to ask something, maybe because I was standing next to her. I pointed to the door. Do you want me to give you 2 a minute to talk? Gia shook her head before taking a deep breath, then turned back to the PA and said,
I think I have the opposite problem.
The PA smiled.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misread what you were asking. Yes, it's definitely normal to have a heightened sex drive. Every woman's experience is individual to that particular pregnancy, and some will have an increased sexual appetite that fluctuates, whereas others might have no desire for the entire pregnancy. But you're young and healthy, so there's no reason not to enjoy yourself if the urge is stronger than normal.
Fuck. Gia just told this woman that she was horny all the time.
So any kind of sex is okay then? I won't hurt the baby?
What the hell was she getting at?
As long as you aren't physically challenging yourself too much, yes. Your partner won't hurt the baby, if that's what your fear is.
She glanced at me and then back to Gia.
It's actually a common concern in couples, so I'm glad you're asking if it's been weighing on your mind.
Gia bit her bottom lip. Her pink face turned bright red now.
What about sex without a partner?
She motioned between the two of us.
We're not... And I wanted to ask my doctor at the last appointment, but he's a man and he's older, and I'd like to use a...
While I was completely lost on what the hell Gia was getting at, apparently the secret code she was speaking made sense to the PA.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, absolutely. You can safely use a vibrator or any other toys that you'd regularly use. Not an issue at all.
The woman dug into her pocket and pulled out a business card.
I totally understand why asking that question to Dr. Daniels might have been difficult. He's a wonderful doctor, but I get it. Please, call me anytime you want to discuss anything.
The two of them chatted away for a few more minutes, but I didn't hear a fucking word of it. My brain was totally stuck on the fact that Gia was horny and about to go to town on herself with her vibrator.
Chapter 23. Is everything okay? Rush hadn't said one word since leaving the doctor's office, and we were halfway to my house.
Fine.
Did it freak you out to go with me? I'm sorry if it was too much to ask.
No, I appreciate you asking me.
Seeing his knuckles turn white from the death grip he had on the steering wheel and listening to his curt responses didn't make me feel like he appreciated going. I stared down at the ultrasound pictures and tried to talk myself into believing that I was paranoid and that nothing was wrong. But I felt like I'd made a big mistake relying on Rush. It was a lot to ask of anyone, and I really needed to learn to stand on my own 2 feet. For the last few weeks, I'd been weighing the pros and cons on Rush's offer to help me, to stay at his house until after the baby was born. Today made me realize it wasn't a good idea. He had a big heart, and I believed that his offer was sincere, but it was unfair to burden anyone with my problems. I needed to set him free. As much as the thought gutted me, I knew it was the right thing to do. Like having a covered wound that hurts when you touch it, once I'd decided it was time to rip the Band-Aid off, I thought it best to do it in one quick tear. So when we pulled up to the house, I took a deep breath and turned to face Rush. I've been doing a lot of thinking lately, and although your offer was extremely generous, I'm not going to be staying out here after our summer share is up. Rush had been staring out the window straight ahead even after he'd pulled to the curb. He finally turned to me.
What? Why?
I need to do this myself, Rush. If I'm here with you, I'm going to just keep leaning on you, and that's not fair to either of us. He looked back and forth between my eyes.
I want you to lean on me.
I touched his arm. I know you do, because you're a good man, Rush. But it's only going to make it harder to walk away at some point, and I will keep you from moving on. Look at what happened the other night when you tried to be with another woman. You're the most loyal man I've ever met. I realize now that you aren't going to move on with me out here, even though you want to. And honestly, neither will I. I felt tears welling in my eyes. So I think it's time. Sometimes you have to let go of the things you never really had. Rush's head hung with his eyes shut, so I used the opportunity to get out of the car before he saw me break down. Thanks for taking me today, Rush. I made it to the door, holding back my emotions, but by the time I tried to put the key in the lock, the unshed tears had blurred my vision, and I dropped my keys on the floor. I bent down, but a large hand scooped them up before I could. Rush's voice was close behind me when I stood, but I couldn't turn around.
I'm an idiot,
he said with a strained, low voice. It made my tears fall faster. I stared straight ahead at the door. No, you're not. I'm the idiot.
You said I'm the most loyal man you've ever met. That's my biggest fear, that I can't live up to that, that part of me is just like my father. You see me the way you want to see me, not as a man who's fucked a dozen different women each summer and never wondered that I might be hurting them in the wake of walking out the door the next morning.
I turned around and found tears in Rush's eyes, too. Reaching up, I wiped one cheek with my thumb, then the other. They were consenting adults. You didn't promise them anything or lead them on. Loyalty is pledging the truth to yourself and others. You were always truthful in what you wanted from them. But what you've given me is also your truth, and it's because you are so loyal that I have to be the one to walk away. I put my hand over his heart. You pledged to be there for me in here. And if I stay, you will be, because your loyalty is unwavering. That's the reason I have to go, because it's your loyalty that won't let you be the person to walk away. Rush looked down and took a few deep breaths. I knew showing me how vulnerable he is wasn't easy, so I didn't push. When he looked back up, he stared straight into my eyes.
You've always really had it.
Your loyalty? He shook his head.
You said, sometimes you have to let go of the things you never really had. You've had my love since day one. You've had me since day one. I was just too chicken shit to admit it.
My heart started to beat faster. I tried to stop it, afraid of allowing myself to get my hopes up for fear that he was saying something other than what I wanted to think he meant. But inside of my chest thundered like a runaway train. Rush cupped both of my cheeks.
Gia Mirabelli, I'm so fucking in love with you that I can't think straight. There's no way in hell I'm letting you leave. Not from this house, not from the heights, not from my life. It scares the shit out of me, but I realized today, seeing that little boy on the screen, that I'm not just in love with you. I'm in love with that little alien you have growing inside of you already. I want it all. I want the fucked up dolls in my closets. I want to hold your hair back when you're puking your brains out. I want to eat Chunky Monkey with you out of the container while we lie in bed naked at 2 in the morning. And I definitely, most definitely want to be the one to take care of you when you have a heightened sexual appetite.
Tears streamed down my face. Of all the things he'd just pledged, for some stupid reason, I got stuck on the ice cream. Maybe it's because deep down I already knew he wanted to hold my hair back and take care of me, but I thought he might be nuts for thinking he was going to want me as the months passed. I'm going to be big and fat from all that Chunky Monkey. He took a step closer and ran his hand along the curve of my hip.
Bring it on. I've been imagining you about 50 pounds heavier and round while I jerked off the last few days. I think I might keep you that way after the pregnancy.
I laughed, yet as crazy as he sounded, I knew he was telling me the truth. I think you're a little insane. His beautiful face turned serious again.
I'm sorry I've been pushing you away and making you feel bad. But I'm done being a pussy. I want you despite all of my own fears that have nothing to do with you, and despite the fact that you probably deserve someone better than me. Please forgive me, and tell me you'll stay and be with me. Really be with me this time.
I didn't have to think about the question, although I probably should have given him some warning that my response was going to be more than just vocal. I jumped up and into Rush's arms, causing him to stumble back a few steps and almost fall as he staggered off the front porch. Yes, yes. I planted a kiss on his teeth when he opened his mouth to laugh. Shaking his head, he said,
"Can we move this inside now? I'm thinking it's about time we seal the deal on this relationship."
What the hell is wrong with you? I looked at myself in the bathroom mirror. I'd told Rush to make himself comfortable while I locked myself in the bathroom to get control of my nerves. I'd been with this man. He'd already seen my body naked and went down on me. And not 10 minutes ago, he professed his love for me and the unborn child of another man. Yet I was literally shaking. I brushed my teeth, rinsed my mouth, and stared at my reflection a few more minutes. He said he loves you. Now what are you waiting for? A soft knock came at the door.
Everything okay in there?
Yes, I'll be right out. 10 minutes later, when I was still inside, trying to will my legs to leave the bathroom, there was another knock at the door.
Gia.
It sounded like he was right on the other side of the door. I walked over and leaned my head against it from this side. Yeah?
I'm nervous, too, if it helps any.
My shoulders loosened. You are?
Yep. You scare the living shit out of me.
I smiled, but still didn't open the door. Why are we so scared of each other right now, Rush?
Because when you finally accept that you found the one, it's terrifying that you might lose them and then there'd never be another.
I think my heart actually swelled in my chest a little. Oh my God, that's the most romantic thing I've ever heard anyone say.
Oh yeah?
He said.
Well, come out here and let me do romantic things to you, beautiful.
Taking a deep breath, I unlocked the door and opened it. His smile made my knees weak as he extended his hand to me. Placing my hand in his felt monumental, like it was my heart I was surrendering. Rush had been so sweet, so open, yet none of those things made me relax, like when he abruptly yanked my hand and tugged me against him hard. The little rough around the edges felt like my Rush again. My Rush. Pressed up against him, he brought both my hands behind my back and locked them there in one of his. His other hand gripped the back of my neck, and his mouth sealed over mine. I yelped between our joined lips when Rush scooped me into his arms and carried me over to the bed. Somehow, we managed not to break the kiss while he set me down and climbed on top of me. All of the nerves I'd felt just a few minutes ago were pushed out by the carnal desire I felt for this man. The kiss that had started off warm and tender quickly heated to hot and wild. Rush used one knee to nudge my legs open and then ground his hips down. The feel of his hard cock pressing against my center made me moan. I couldn't wait for him to be inside of me. Sensing my need, Rush broke the kiss and pulled back. My head was literally dizzy. He never broke our gaze as he tugged off his shirt and then slipped mine over my head. His tongue ran along his bottom lip as he looked down at my bra. When his gaze returned to meet mine, he swallowed before speaking.
"Do you need gentle, baby?"
I shook my head. A wicked grin spread across his face.
"Thank fuck."
Rush shed the rest of our clothes so fast that it felt like one of his hands stripped me and the other ripped off his pants. Settling back on top of me, he rubbed his bare cock up and down between my legs and then pressed hard against my clit. I thought I might come from just the friction. The gleam in his eyes told me he knew exactly what he was doing to me. But two could play his game. I spread my legs as wide as they could go and slipped my hand down between us to grab him. Realizing my hand couldn't wrap fully around his girth, I was thankful how much this man turned me on because I was ready for all of him. Our eyes were locked as he pushed inside. He rocked his hips, easing his hard, thick length in and out a few times. I gasped when he bore down and sank deep inside of me. Rush stilled, and I felt his body begin to shake.
Fuck, Gia. Fuck. This is where I've wanted to be since the day I met you. Deep inside you, just like you are inside of me.
He took my mouth in the most beautiful kiss as he glided in and out and then returned to watching me. The green of his eyes darkened to near gray as his thrusts became more and more powerful. I had sex before, but never knew until that moment that I'd never been made love to. Our bodies became one, but it was our hearts and souls connecting that made the act so much more than physical. Everything else in the world ceased to exist except us. Rush's jaw clenched, and he growled,
I want to fill up this sweet pussy over and over again, every fucking day.
That was it. Whatever last bit of control I had was completely annihilated hearing the desperation in his voice. Waves began to crest. My entire body hummed with need. Tears of joy crowded my eyes. Rush reached down and lifted one of my thighs into the air, allowing him to drive even deeper into my body. I moaned as my orgasm ripped through me, and Rush responded by fucking me harder and harder. He roared as he bucked one last time and planted himself as deep as he could possibly go before coming inside of me. After, he kissed me gently as he continued to move in and out, telling me how beautiful I was and how much he loved me. It dawned on me that I hadn't told him back. Even though I was certain he knew, it was time. Rush, I whispered. He trailed a path of tender kisses from my ear down to my neck, and then up and over my chin before our lips met. I love you too. His smile split from ear to ear.
Well, that's good, because I love you too. But not T-O-O too.
He climbed down my body and planted a kiss on my belly.
Because I love you, T-W-O, too.
Chapter 24. I loved exploring her when she was fast asleep. As I circled my index finger around her nipple, I swore her areola looked bigger and darker than yesterday. Her body was changing every day like a flower slowly blooming. And fuck, I loved it so much. I loved Gia so much. Making this kind of commitment to someone was scary as all fuck, but I wouldn't have had it any other way. Accepting my feelings was the best thing I ever did. It felt so good not to have to fight them anymore. The fear hadn't gone away. The difference was that I was letting it be there, telling it to fuck off while I lived my life and loved this girl. While I was more scared than I had ever been in my life, I'd never been happier either. And that trumped everything else. I slid my hand slowly down her abdomen before slipping my fingers inside of her. She was wet. Gia's sexual appetite was voracious, even in her sleep. Her body stirred, and then she reached out to me. Hey, you trying to get some? I slowly pulled my fingers out of her. I am. You given? She climbed on top of me, kissing me hard on the lips. I thought you might be tired of me after all the times we did it last night. Fuck no. I squeezed her ass. Did you know there's something called pregophilia? Oh my God, what? It's a fetish. I Googled can't get enough of pregnant woman, and that came up. I think I might be a pregophile. She was cracking up. I thought you were just saying that at first, but I'm starting to believe it. I took her hand and placed it on my rigid cock. Believe this. Gia straddled me before sliding my cock into her wet cunt. The feeling of sinking into her hot pussy was like no other. It was truly like what I imagined heaven felt like. She started to grind her hips over me. I love sex with her in any position, but when she rode me, it always felt like I was even deeper into her. I loved being able to watch her tits bounce and to place my hands over different parts of her body, exploring her face, her hips, her ass. It almost made me feel guilty to be able to sit back while she did all the work, except for the fact that she really seemed to love being on top, seemed to love being in control. You know what else I freaking loved? Being able to fuck her without a condom. Before her, I never took chances with anyone, always covered it up. Fucking her bare felt almost too good, and I had to constantly try to stop myself from prematurely blowing my load. Thankfully, Gia was so horny that she never took very long to come. This time was no exception. As she came crashing down on top of me, throbbing over my cock, I spilled inside of her until there was nothing left. Gia collapsed onto my chest. How did I ever get so lucky? I caressed her hair for a while before I said, I'm the lucky one. We lay there in silence. I don't know what made me say, I feel sorry for that bastard from the Heights, whoever he is, because he won't know what he's missing out on. I blew out a breath. Fuck that. I don't feel sorry for him. I'm glad he took off. She laid her head on me and was quiet for a while before she said, I wish this baby was yours. I would give anything for that. Her words squeezed at my chest. Of course, I wish that were the case, but dwelling on it in any way was futile. We could never change the fact that it wasn't mine. I wish that too, for ego reasons, but you know, he won't ever feel like he doesn't have a father. I'll always be there for him, and for you. In the end, it won't make any difference who his sperm donor was. I held her tighter. Things are the way they were meant to be. You don't meet people by accident in life. That dude was meant to leave, and you were meant to meet me. It's all written in the stars. She lifted her head to meet my eyes. I didn't know you were so philosophical. Have you met my mother? She chuckled. That's true. When her smile faded, I asked, What's wrong? She rubbed her stomach. Pretty soon, we're not going to be able to hide this. How do I explain it to the people at work? You don't have to explain shit to them. You don't owe anyone an explanation. But I want to do it before they start talking. I feel like I just need to lay it all out on the line and be the one to control when they find out before they start whispering about my size. I didn't want this to stress her out and vowed to myself that I would take care of things. Don't worry about any of that. I'll handle it. The next day at the Heights, I called a mandatory staff meeting right after closing. I wanted everyone there so I didn't have to explain myself twice. If employees weren't on shift, they were still called in and paid for the hour. I specifically did it during Gia's night off so that she didn't have to deal with it. Everyone gathered around me. I'd chosen the downstairs bar area as the site of our informal meeting. People were definitely confused. I think they might have thought I was closing down the Heights because it was unlike me to call a meeting. When it looked like everyone was there, I cleared my throat to get their attention. I'm going to make this brief. I know you're all tired and it's late, so I'm not keeping you a second longer than I have to. I took a deep breath. You know I don't normally talk about my personal life because it generally has nothing to do with business, but because Gia is an employee here, I don't want her to have to worry about people talking behind her back. I inhaled before spitting it out. She and I are together. She's my girlfriend. I paused. I love her. And we're also having a baby. If you have any questions or concerns about that news, you can see me. But I don't want anyone making her feel uncomfortable because of it or treating her any differently, unless it's to make her job easier. I nodded once. I have nothing more to say. You guys have a good night. I walked away, leaving the rumblings and whispers of my staff behind. No one had a chance to congratulate me or even respond. That was fine with me. Large footsteps trailed me. I knew exactly who it was before his deep voice came up from behind me. "Whoa, whoa, whoa. You think you're going to make an announcement like that and not have to deal with me? You got another thing coming." As Oak followed me into my office, I couldn't help the smile on my face because I knew he was going to have a field day with this. I turned to face him and sighed. "I'm sorry I didn't tell you first. I went to find you earlier, but you were busy breaking up that fight, and then the night just flew by." "This is for real?" he smiled. "Yeah, it's for real." Oak caught me off guard when he approached and gave me a huge bear hug. "I couldn't be happier for you, man. How far along is she?" I racked my brain for an answer I hoped would make sense. "A couple months? A couple months-ish." "You guys have been together for a while, then. You had me fooled. It explains a lot about your crazy behavior, though." "We've been keeping it on the down low until we figured things out." He placed his hand on my shoulder. "Fatherhood is a gift. I'm glad you'll get to experience it. I was worried you wouldn't because you're stubborn." "It wasn't something I ever thought I wanted, Oak. But I guess when you meet the right person, that changes everything." "Damn straight." He just kept shaking his head and smiling. "I knew from day one that you and Gia would end up together. I'm glad you finally saw it, too." That night on my way home, I went to light up a cigarette. For the first time, I really stopped to think about the fact that I needed to quit because of the baby. I couldn't smoke around him and couldn't be smoking around Gia anymore either. Throwing the unlit butt out the window, I decided to give quitting a real honest try this time. Then, I picked up the phone and dialed Gia. When she picked up, I simply said, "You know that work situation you were worried about? I took care of it." A few nights later, Gia and I were headed out to eat when I said, "Do you mind if we stop by my house real quick?"
"No, not at all. You know I love your house."
I hadn't asked her to move in with me. We were together every night, sometimes at my place, sometimes at hers, but I didn't want to push things. Still, I wanted her to know that I was all in, so I spent a good chunk of this week putting together a little surprise for her. When we entered my place, I led her toward the spare bedroom. "I want to show you something." She looked suspicious when she grinned.
"Okay."
When I opened the door, she gasped.
"No way!"
I spent the week changing the guest room into a nursery. "Do you like it?" She got a load of the newly decorated space. My mother had painted a mural on the wall of the moon and stars. I'd assembled a white crib, and the whole room was done up in blues and grays to match the wall. A changing table sat in the corner. It was fully stocked with supplies. The room was move-in ready. She walked around, soaking it all in.
I love it. Did you design this all yourself?"
"I might have gotten a little help from my mother. She painted this wall, actually. She's been out here all week, and you didn't even know. But I picked out the bedding and the other stuff. I figured it's pretty gender neutral with the gray mixed in, just in case he turns out to be a girl." She was pretty speechless.
"I don't know what to say. This is the most amazing thing that anyone has ever done for me."
Kissing her on the forehead, I said, "I don't want you to think I'm pressuring you to move in. That's not what this is about. This room is for the baby, whether you're living apart from me or with me. That's your choice. But I figured he's going to need a place to sleep when you're here." There was nothing I wanted more than for Gia to move into my place. But she's very independent, and I didn't want to pressure her. There were enough changes happening. At the same time, I wanted her to know that my home was her home. Gia walked over to the corner of the room and grabbed a stuffed bear that was sitting in the rocking chair. She hugged it and shocked me when she started to cry. She wiped her eyes.
"Is it weird that I just don't feel deserving of all of this?"
"Why not?"
"Just a few weeks ago, I felt like my life was over, like I was going to have to start from scratch and find my way back up. Then you told me that you loved me and would accept my baby and me, and it turned my world right side up again. Accepting my child as your own is a huge undertaking. I feel like you're giving me so much, sacrificing so much, and all I have to give you is my love.
Wrapping my hands around her face, I looked into her eyes. That's all I need. It's something that only a few people have truly given me in this life. You underestimate how much that really means to me. I led her over to the rocker and pulled her onto my lap. You never know when the tables will turn in life, Gia, or what will happen. But I know that if something unimaginable did happen, that you'd do anything for me. And when it comes to you and this baby, yes, it's a huge undertaking. But sacrifice isn't the right word. It's an honor.
Chapter 25. It was the third black dress I'd tried on in 10 minutes. I pulled it over my head and threw it on the floor. Nothing fit me anymore, but I was determined to squeeze into something I owned, and it had to be black. Sweat was permeating my forehead when Rush walked right into the middle of my wardrobe crisis.
What's going on in here?
I should have bought a new outfit for tonight. None of my old stuff fits me. I'm at that weird point where I'm not really showing, but I just look fat and don't fit into any of my clothes. Looking good tonight was imperative because I was going to be meeting Rush's family. Granted, he didn't get along with them, but that didn't mean I didn't want to look good. It surprised me when Rush had asked me to accompany him to his estranged brother's birthday party in the city. While I was curious to meet the Bad Apples, his father and brother, it made me really nervous. But he told me he'd promised his sister-in-law, the one I'd met at the Heights, that he would at least show up. Rush had an extra collared shirt hanging around in my closet from one of the last times we'd gone out to a fancy restaurant. He took it down and said,
"Humor me. Try on this shirt."
"Are you kidding me?"
"No, it needs to be pressed, but put it on for a minute. I have an idea."
Wrapping myself in a large black shirt, I laughed as I buttoned it up. It was actually long enough to wear as a dress, but it was way too baggy. Rush grabbed a thick, red patent belt that was hanging in my closet and placed it around my waist. He pushed up some of the material above the belt, then rolled up my sleeves halfway and adjusted the collar. I stood there speechless as he walked over to my jewelry box and grabbed a strand of pearls that had belonged to my father's mother. He lifted my hair up and fastened it around my neck. He then led me over to the mirror that was affixed to the wall. Rush placed his hands on my shoulders from behind.
"What do you think?"
The ensemble actually looked really good. I couldn't believe he'd pulled this off, that this shirt could actually pass off as a dress and look stylish at that. "I love it. It's perfect, and it doesn't make me feel fat at all. I would have never taken you for a fashionista."
"I'm not. I'm just good at thinking on my feet during times of crisis."
He pointed to my shoes that were lined up on the closet floor.
"Those red heels I love would go perfect with it, too."
Flipping around, I wrapped my arms around his neck. "You're like my hero tonight, you know that? I owe you big time later."
"I'm sure I'm gonna love taking this off even more than I loved putting it on."
Rush was strumming his fingers along the steering wheel during the car ride to the city. He definitely seemed tense, and that was understandable. I placed my hand on his knee. "Are you sure you want to do this? We don't have to go. We could just go out to eat somewhere else."
"I told my brother's wife I would show up. She's been begging me for weeks. She's delusional because she thinks that somehow my relationship with him can be repaired. I'm only doing this for her. She's always been nice to me. But honestly, a part of me wants to show up just to put a damper on his birthday because he's such a dick. So, there's that."
"We don't have to stay long if it's going to upset you to be around them."
"I'll be fine. I'm a big boy. I deal with them all of the time in business meetings. A couple of hours at a party isn't going to kill me."
The fact that he wasn't smoking anymore wasn't lost on me. "I want you to know that I am so proud of you for not lighting up right now because I know you really want to. You would normally be smoking one after the other in a situation like this."
Yeah, let's not even mention cigarettes, okay?
I cringed. Sorry. He glanced over at me.
Got any other ideas to relieve stress while I'm driving?
I would totally go down on you right now, you know. Don't tempt me.
Nah, I won't let you take your seatbelt off. Not with my precious cargo. I might let you give me head in the bathroom at my brother's house, though.
Anything to make you feel better. He cocked a brow.
You'll do anything, huh?
Pretty much.
That's one of the things I love about you, beautiful.
Once in Manhattan, we parked near Rush's brother's place, then walked a few blocks to the luxury building. A doorman checked our names on a list and brought us to a private elevator that led right up to the penthouse suite. As soon as the doors opened, a wave of heat hit me as we entered the crowded room. Waiters passed around trays of hors d'oeuvres and champagne. The city lights lit up the space through the massive floor-to-ceiling windows. Someone was playing a grand piano at one end of the living room. So many people were talking over each other, and that made everything sound muffled. I really wished I could have had a drink. Meeting new people always made me a bit nervous, but especially in this case, given the tension between Rush and his father and brother. Rush went to fetch me a glass of water. He returned with one and a flute of champagne for himself. The beautiful blonde woman I remembered from the Heights walked toward us with a big smile on her face. Rush, I'm so glad you could make it. She was wearing a long black gown that seemed way too formal for a birthday party, even one as ritzy as this.
Good to see you, Lauren, he said.
She turned to me. Gia, right? Nice to see you again. She flashed her pearly whites before giving me a quick once-over. I wondered if she figured out that I was wearing Rush's shirt. Lauren looked like she'd just gotten a fresh spray tan. It looked sparkly, like she had specks of glitter over her flawless skin. Her golden locks were done up in a twist. Nice to see you again, too, I smiled. Please, partake in some appetizers and drinks. We have Elliot's favorite restaurant, La Grenouille, catering dinner later, so save some room. Someone came by and swept her away into another conversation. Turning to Rush, I asked, Where's your brother? He downed the last of his champagne and surveyed the room.
I don't see him yet.
Do you think he's going to be an asshole to you?
No. He'll be fake and nice around other people. He'll be nice around you, too, because he flirts with any woman who's not his wife. He's mainly a dick to me when no one's watching.
Rush kissed my forehead.
You want me to grab you some pigs in a blanket or whatever the fuck they're passing around?
Nah, I'm good. Feeling a little queasy, actually. Not that hungry. Rush grabbed a scallop wrapped in bacon off one of the trays and popped it into his mouth. I glanced around. God, you can just smell the money, can't you?
And the bullshit, too.
Rush looked toward the corner of the room.
Speaking of bullshit, there's Richie Rich over there. My brother.
When my eyes landed on the corner Rush was pointing to, my heart felt like it stopped for a moment. There were three men engaged in a conversation. The longer my eyes lingered on one of the guys, the more certain it became that I knew him. He was wearing a bow tie. With each passing second that I stared at his face, I became more and more nauseated. I squinted, trying my best to see clearly, to be sure. Oh, God. My throat felt like it was closing. I was pretty sure it was Harlan. Harlan, who I was never supposed to see again. Harlan, who gave me the wrong number after our one-night stand. Harlan, who had gotten me pregnant. Memories of that night flashed through my brain like a movie on rewind. I kept staring at his face, the same eyes, the same square jaw, the same way he parted his hair to the side, the same perfect white teeth, the same charming smile, that laugh. It was him. Oh my God, it's him. My heart was pounding out of my chest, and it felt like the room was spinning. I managed to get the words out. Which one of those guys is your brother? Rush sucked on his toothpick, then pointed it over at him.
The one with the bow tie.
The end. For now. Rush and Gia's story continues in Rebel Heart, coming May 22nd, 2018.
This has been Rebel Air, written by Vi Keeland and Penelope Ward. Narrated by Sebastian York and Maxine Mitchell. Copyright 2018 by Vi Keeland and Penelope Ward. Production copyright 2018 by Vi Keeland and Penelope Ward. Production coordination by Lyric Audiobooks. Sebastian York and Maxine Mitchell are members of SAG-AFTRA.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.